Masavene Yisrael, Asher Yotzeu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Litziv Osam, Biad Moshe V'Aharon. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went forth from the land of Egypt according to their legions, under the hand of Moshe and Aharon.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, I'm your host Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat Parshat Masei. In Chutz La'aretz, they will be reading Matot Masei, finally catching up to us, which isn't exactly the way it is. I'll explain that again in a moment. First availability, recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 29th day of Tammuz, 5779, Erev Rosh Chodesh, corresponding this year to August 1st. If you notice, we have August 1st, the next day is the first of, and that means that during the month of August / the month of, we are one day out of sync between the secular calendar and the Jewish calendar, and when we get to September, we will be back in sync, for the first time in about 33 months. And September and Elul will have the same count until September 30th, which will be the first day of Tishrei, also known as the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's just a calendar fact. No Jewish religious significance to that. It just happens because the general calendar's months are 30 days and 31 days, and February 28 days or 29 days, and the Jewish months are 29 or 30, so the averages are slightly different, and that creates the situation of the matchup of dates floating through a period of about 31 to 34 months before you get them lined up. Okay. Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph. Since here we have already davened Mincha on Erev Rosh Chodesh, we did not say Tachanun at Mincha, as one does not say right before Rosh Chodesh and before many other dates. And our practice here on Torah Tibbetz Audio in such an occasion as to read Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lama'alot Esa Einai El Haharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yaminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmor tzeischa v'oecha me'ata v'yad olam. Shir lama'alot esa einai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri. A song to the ascents. I raise my eyes upon the mountains. Whence will come my help? My help is from Hashem, maker of heaven and earth. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim v'oretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yaminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, me'ata v'yad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya. Ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Ha'makom yirachim aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara l'yirvacha. U'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula. Hashta ba'agala u'bizman kariv v'nomar. Amen.
Kol beis Yisrael, Acheinu, kol beis Yisrael, Hanesunim batzara, batzara hovashevya, Hoindim bein bayam, uvein bayabasha. Sorrow washes you. I'm dim vain by you, vain by you. Sorrow, live right.
Okay. I don't know if you've experienced a fluctuation in volume over the first piece of the show. I've been having a little trouble maintaining the favorable input level, and I hope this works now. As I said about Matot Mase, it goes like this. The system which we have for the yearly cycle of reading of the Torah, from after Simchat Torah with Shabbat Bereshit, all the way through the year, around to Simchat Torah when we finish the Torah and begin Bereshit, this was a system made for Chutz La'aretz, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel. At the time, Israel had a different kind of cycle of Torah reading, but somewhere along the line, I don't know when, we adopted the one-year cycle. And as such, there are occasional anomalies, little glitches in the way the system works here in Israel, due to the fact that Pesach, like it did this year, can run from Shabbat through Friday in Israel, Shabbat to Shabbat in Chutz La'aretz. With that Shabbat, we read Parshat HaShavua, and in Chutz La'aretz, there's a special reading for the eighth day of Pesach, and Parshat HaShavua does not resume till the following Shabbat. The other possibility is Shavuot falling out on a Friday, and in Chutz La'aretz being observed on Friday Shabbat, in which case we go back here in Israel. We don't go back. We continue with Parshat HaShavua, and in Chutz La'aretz they take a one-week break for the Torah reading of the second day of Shavuot. In either case, we go out of sync in Parshat HaShavua, and we in Israel need to split that which is combined in Chutz La'aretz in order to get back into sync. And in a Shana Me'uberet, a 13-month year, when no other Sedras from Pesach till now are doubled, we needed to wait until Matot Mase, which is read all over the world on this Shabbat. And we, because we were ahead, we split Matot Mase. We read Matot last week, and we're going to read Mase this week. I hope that's clear. After this week, I don't have to mention it anymore, because starting next Shabbat, Parshat Devarim is the Torah reading for Jewish communities all over the world, including Israel. So that's the story. Now, about Mase, and for people in Chutz La'aretz listening to the show, you either go back to last week's show and you hear what I had to say about Matot, or you don't, in which case you will hear just what I have to say about Mase. The first chunk of the Sedra deals with the travels of Bnei Yisrael from the moment they left Egypt until they arrived in Arvot Moav in the plains of Moav, on the east side of the Jordan River, preparing next to cross the Jordan River under the guidance of Yehoshua and to be taken into Eretz Yisrael, whereby follows a period of conquest and apportionment of the land until finally we're settled. Mase is a travelogue which in many of the places of encampments of the 42 places mentioned, there is just the mention of the name of the place. Most of those names we don't identify today with anything specific, but even according to the commentaries, the places might not have been called by those names if there was some kind of indigenous roaming population in the wilderness. nomadic kind of thing. But the names that the Torah records often carry a message and have to do with something that occurred in those places. Furthermore, many of the places were very briefly encamped, and some for periods much longer, up to a year, and much more than that as well. Furthermore, the first 14 places on the list were before Chet HaEgel. The rest is after Chet HaEgel. And, I'm sorry, Chet HaMeraglim, and the sin of the spies. And that created a situation where we can only imagine that the mood in the first portion of travels was one thing, and the mood changed very drastically in the aftermath of the sin of the spies. Other than naming names, the Torah gives a note for what occurred in certain places, most prominent of which is the death of Aharon HaKohen. In fact, when the Torah first recorded that he died back in Chukat, it did not tell us when that occurred. Here in Mas'eh, in just by the way saying we came to that place and that's where Aharon died, we have the date of his death, which is Rosh Chodesh Av, which is tomorrow, and we read the portion that contains that date on Shabbat. So now we're just one day off. There are years where Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbat itself, and then that has a very unusual, if not unique, situation where a date mentioned in the Torah corresponds to the date on which we read that portion. So that's what happens with Aharon's Yortzeit. Now, after the travelogue, God tells Moshe that he is not going to cross the Jordan with the people, but that he shall tell the people that that's what they're about to do. V'horashtem et kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipneichem. You shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, and you shall destroy all of their prostration stones, all their molten images you shall destroy, and all their high places you shall demolish. And then comes the following pasuk. V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem bah. You shall possess the land, and you shall settle in it. For to you have I given the land to possess it. This pasuk is one of more than one, one of a few, that commands us to dwell in Eretz Yisrael. And here we come to a famous disagreement, if you want to put it like that, between Rambam Maimonides and the Sefer Achinuch, who follows Rambam almost to the T, versus the Ramban Nachmanides. Rambam does not count living in Eretz Yisrael, living in Israel, as one of the 613 mitzvot. Ramban does. The Ramban makes it very clear that there is a mitzvah to say in the Torah to conquer and to settle the land of Israel and to dwell in it and not to get comfortable and at home any other place in the world and not to allow any parts of Eretz Yisrael to be in the hands of non-Jewish nations, especially not enemies. That's my parenthetical addition to that statement. And this is known as the Ramban's mitzvah number 4. Now, people question, how come, when it seems to be a clear command, does not the Rambam count it among the 613? The question implies that, is the Rambam considering living in Eretz Yisrael to be less than a mitzvah? Or perhaps more than just a mitzvah? That second alternative is the one that I personally favor and will speak towards. The Rambam is clear in his halachic work, the Mishneh Torah, the last section, Hilchot Melachim Umilchamotehem, the laws of kings and their wars. And he says there, among other things, a person shall rather live in Israel in a city whose majority of inhabitants are idol worshippers, rather than live outside of Israel, even in a city filled with Jews and the Jewish infrastructure and the practice of Judaism. Again, my parenthetical additions to the exact wording of the Sidra. I'm not about to apologize for elaborating on this point. It's one of the major themes, if not the most major of the themes of Torah Tidbits in print, of my teaching, and of Torah Tidbits in writing and in broadcasting on the radio, or what used to be the radio and now is the internet. So again, no apologies, but I want to make something abundantly clear, if that's the right term. The people of Israel, in groups by groups, have been confronted throughout its history with a sad situation and an important challenge. We were exiled from this land, and we could not easily return to this land. And what most or many Jewish communities did was create for themselves as best a situation to live a Torah life as possible. And that included shuls and schools and mikvaot and kosher butchers and this kosher and that kosher. And this was a situation that challenged the Jew to do the best he could in keeping Shabbat, in prayer, in holidays, in all the other teachings of the Torah, even though living in Eretz Yisrael is one of those important mitzvot, but it needed for sanity to be put on the back burner and manifest itself with perhaps a painting on the wall of the Kotel or of Eretz Yisrael, and the song Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya, and other kind of, well, I can't be there, but at least I can sing about it, or I can't be there, at least I could daven about it, or I can't be there, at least I could remember it. And that became a very important part of Jewish life, almost to the point that when coming to Eretz Yisrael became a reality and a process that was simpler than it ever was in Jewish history since the exile, then people sort of didn't know what to do. Many people came on Aliyah and are thrilled to be here. And Aliyah is getting easier and easier and easier to do. But there was a Galut mentality, which still exists today, of saying, Shabbat, I will scrupulously keep, and I will create the infrastructure necessary for good keeping of Shabbat and of Kashrut, and of shuls and mikvahs and schools and everything else you need to be a Jew, but here, wherever the here is. The idea that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Israel, is no less a mitzvah than keeping Shabbat, than keeping kosher, than daily prayer, then Birkat HaMazon after a meal, sort of escaped the consciousness of many Jews because they had gone so long without the realistic ability to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So when you speak to people, Jews, religious Jews outside of Israel, and you ask them, New, what's the story with living in Israel? You get a disturbing range of answers. Before the disturbing, the ones that are sad but less disturbing are the ones that you can say are sort of good reasons why not. And the two main ones would be parnasa, livelihood, and divided families. Children who come to live in Israel, leaving their parents back home. Parents who come to Israel to do aliyah. And children and grandchildren elsewhere. That's difficult, and that's a mitigating circumstance. I don't know if you will always evaluate it as good reason. There are many less good reasons, less than good reasons. And then there are arguments. One of my favorites is when a person says, well, there are reputable poskim who said that living in Israel today is not a mitzvah chiyuvit, an obligation as a mitzvah, but it is, quote, merely, only, a mitzvah kiyumit, one that you fulfill and you get credit for, and if you don't, you don't. Whenever someone argues that with me, one of my first reactions is, are you wearing tzitzis? Obviously, we're talking about guys. And do you wear a talus in the morning? Do you realize that the mitzvah of tzitzit is a mitzvah kiyumit? If you don't have a four-cornered garment, according to the Torah, you're not obligated to wear a four-cornered garment and then put tzitzis on it. That's only what our sages have done by requiring talus and tzitzis, by making a statement that a person should not even walk dalet amot without being wrapped in his talus or tzitzis. And it sort of, I don't know, faded. That's their argument, and my argument back is, here's an example of mitzvah kiyumit that you fulfill. But there's more. And this is something that I'm glad I'm not alone in thinking and in speaking about it. And to me, it is extremely significant. And for that, I find it very difficult to ask friends and family who still live in Chutz La'aretz why you haven't taken steps to heed this following point. God makes it clear in the Torah over and over again that he took us out of Egypt, gave us the Torah, and intended to bring us to Eretz Yisrael to live a Torah life here, heavenly, forever and ever, happily ever after. That's the one I was looking for. And that I would sum up with the two words, Ritzon Hashem, the will of God, the desire of God. He, not because of himself, but because of us, had to forcibly exile us from the land which he wanted us to live in, because the land could no longer sustain a people who did this, that, or the other thing. And what has been experienced in the last 70 years, 71 years of Israel's statehood is the feeling that God wants this to happen, to continue to happen, and is backing it all the way. And except for those extreme, that extreme opinion that says, no, we're not allowed to do that until the Mashiach comes. First of all, there are plenty of arguments against that, but at least that goes along with the state should not have been established, and the Jewish this and the Jewish that, because you have to wait for Mashiach. The mainstream thought of the religious Zionist camp is that you don't have to wait for Mashiach. In fact, by increasing Torah learning and observance among the Jewish people, and by increasing Aliyah to Israel, we are hastening the Mashiach. This is not my own point of view, but of course it is, but I didn't make it, and many, many different, I guess we'll start with the Ramban, but we really have to go back earlier, because that statement that I attributed to the Rambam was quoted from the Gemara and was stated there as well about where a Jew should live. So the technicalities of does it qualify as a mitzvah, does it qualify as a mitzvah kiyumit or chiyuvit, is almost beside the point, because you see this is what God wants of the Jewish people. If he didn't want it, we wouldn't be able to come here. And I believe that's the way that people should look. Back to the Rambam. How come the Rambam doesn't say it's one of the 613 mitzvot? I mentioned that there were different ways of explaining it. The one that I personally prefer is to say that it is not merely a mitzvah that would qualify it for 1 through whatever, but it is a super mitzvah, an all-encompassing, larger mitzvah than the ones that make up the list of 613. Living in Eretz Yisrael facilitates the performance of many other mitzvot, hatluyot ba'aretz. So Kansas, for as much wheat or corn as it has, does not have the mitzvah of Shemitah, does not have the mitzvot of Shumot and Masrot. Eretz Yisrael does. But in addition to that, it might be, at least according to the Ramban, it is a facilitator of full quality performance of all mitzvot. Ramban is noted for saying that a Jew outside of Israel is performing mitzvot out of context, And he's doing it because he needs to keep in practice and in shape for the time when he will be able to do these mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. As such, that's a very, very strong statement that says to the Jews of Chutz La'aretz, not only don't you have Shemitah and Trumot and Masrot and other mitzvot atliyot ba'aretz, but you really don't even have a full observance of Shabbat, because, according to the Ramban, you're only doing it to keep in shape, to practice. We see this with the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of challah, min ha-Torah, does not apply outside of Israel, nor outside the time of Tumah and Tahara. Today, Chazal, our sages, not only require the taking of challah outside of Eretz Yisrael, but give the reason to keep in shape, shelo tishtakach Torah hachalah miYisrael. And a similar argument is made for the tzitzit and for the talit, that we, in order to understand and appreciate this mitzvah, need to put on a four-cornered garment that will therefore require the strings of the tzitzit on the sides, on the corners. And more. The Navi has several places basically told us that our Jewish existence outside of the land of Israel is an embarrassment to God. It's a chilul Hashem, because it prompts the nations to say, God can't even keep his own people in his own country. And he got angry at them, and he scattered them around the world. There are places in the Navi where God says through the Navi, I will gather you and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, not because you deserve it, but because my name is desecrated when you don't come back. And that's a very strong argument for coming back on Aliyah. The Torah in this last sedra of Bamidbar outlines the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, discusses the Ir Miklat, three of which are on the east side of the Jordan, three in Eretz Yisrael proper, we'll say, and more to be added when necessary, and the cities that were given to the Levim, and the list of the leaders of the tribes who will be the ones to lead their tribes into Eretz Yisrael, and the obligation of the tribes to make sure that the Levim have comfortable cities with surrounding area to house themselves. And ends with Eila HaMitzvot VaHamishpatim. These are the mitzvot and the statutes. Asher Tziva Hashem Biad Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, that God commanded via Moshe to the people of Israel, Be'arvot Moav al Yarden Yerecho, in the plains, on the plains of Moav, at the Jordan River. And that's where we are holding now. Rabbi Ephraim Sprecher teaches two shiurim a week at the center, and writes a column for Torah Tidbits. And this week, he made a very beautiful point. When the Navi Zechariah prophesied that the fast days associated with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash will in the future become Yamim Tovim, festive occasions, the question is, why? If you say Tisha B'Av, Shivasar B'Tammuz will be canceled when we have a Beit HaMikdash, when we have everything back where it belongs in Eretz Yisrael, a Sanhedrin, and Shemitah, and Yovel, etc. So Tisha B'Av should be canceled as a fast day. Shivasar B'Tammuz should be canceled as a fast day. Why do they become, or will they become, Yamim Tovim? And his answer, very beautiful. And I don't know if it's his own, but I got it from him. And that's important, by the way, to acknowledge when you hear a piece of Torah from an individual or read it. He says, Shivasar B'Tammuz, which is a black day on the calendar, was originally supposed to be a festive day. Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days and 40 nights after Matan Torah, after Revelation at Sinai. And he was to come down on that day, which is Shivasar B'Tammuz, with the Luchot, with the beginning of a whole new life of Torah, which he had been learning for these 40 days and 40 nights in order to teach us. And that day would have been celebrated as a holiday, except that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to the reveling of, around the golden calf and smashed the Luchot and destroyed the Egel and castigated the people, etc., and went back up to Har Sinai to plead with God for our well-being. And it became a tragic day. And it became a fast day. But Mekori, originally, it should have been a Yom Tov, not a regular day. And therefore, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, when Zechariah's prophecy is fulfilled, Shivasar B'Tammuz will become a festive day again. Or, from its original plan, it will be, finally, a festive day. Tisha B'Av began with Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. Now, let's imagine a different result. Let's imagine the people coming to Moshe and say, we want to send in scouts to see what's going on there. And Moshe sends them all over the land of Canaan. And they came back with samples of fruit, as they did, and with a glowing, passionate description of the land that God is to give us, and an enthusiasm that we should immediately start to go in that direction. It didn't happen like that. What happened was that only Kalev and Yehoshua signed on for the Alo Na'ale, let's go, and everyone else, male adult population, condemned to die out in the course of the wilderness. But that day should have been, Tisha B'Av, a day of celebration. Imagine if all the Meraglim would have agreed and reported the same way Kalev and Yehoshua did, there would be tremendous simcha on that day, and it would perpetuate as a very, very special holiday because we were now heading to fulfill the package deal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was taking us out of Egypt, check, giving us the Torah, check, bringing us to Eretz Yisrael. Well, sorry, can't give you a check on that yet. Except as people came back and continue to come back. Headline yesterday was 95 Americans arrived in Israel and still have a lot more to go. But that is the flavor. Anyway, that's what I got from Ephraim Sprecher's article. And the application to all that I have said before, This is not a coincidence that v'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo, you shall possess the land and dwell in it, always comes out at the beginning of the 9 days, or towards the beginning of the 9 days, which is the morning of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile from Eretz Yisrael. So here in the Sedra, we have the excitement. These are the boundaries to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west, etc. And it should have been not here at the end of 40 years of wandering. It should have been that very first year, beginning of the second year, when the Meraglim were sent as an advanced scouting party, and we would rejoice in being able to continue our journey into Eretz Yisrael. For those of us who live here, it has taken many thousands of years since we should have been here, and Baruch Hashem, we finally are. For the Jews of Chutz La'aretz, it's been thousands of years without Eretz Yisrael, except. And they're still not here. Which goes back to what I said about a good excuse, a bad excuse, at least cry that you're not living here. Don't say, why should I? Don't say, what are you, out of your mind? No, I must tell you that maybe I'm going on 38 years now in Elul. It will be 38 on the 17th of Elul. And 38 plus years ago, a prominent leader of the religious Zionists of America, when I told him I was coming on Aliyah, I was planning my Aliyah, he said, what are you, crazy? And as long as that mindset continues, there's a big problem. People should either be living here or wanting to live here. And it should hurt. It can't paralyze you, which is what the Jew did to protect itself. As I described, over Jewish history, they needed to insulate themselves from that terrible lack of Eretz Yisrael in their active lives. But it should never have gotten to the point of, we are so comfortable here in, you fill in the blank, that we don't even need Eretz Yisrael because of this and because of that and whatever. So, to wrap it all up and to sum it all up, this Shabbat we read Parshat Maaseh, or Matot Maaseh. This Shabbat we read of V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo. Very close to the end of the Sedra, which says, Eile ha-mitzvot v'ha-mishpatim. These are the mitzvot and the statutes, which are a review of everything, including living in Eretz Yisrael, that God commanded through Moshe to the people of Israel, Ba'arvot Mo'av al Yerdein Yerecho. May we see the festive day that Tisha B'Av will be in the future, speedily in our time. And a final word is the fact that this Shabbat, next Shabbat, is Tisha B'Av itself, and on that day we will have 3 Shabbos meals, and with wine and with meat, and in addition to the fact that it's Shabbat, it is also a foretaste of the holiday in the future, again may it be in our time speedily, that Tisha B'Av itself will not be postponed till Sunday when it's on a Shabbat, but will be enjoyed as a festive occasion every single year. Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtamea. Da 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 da